That I appreciate that song. And if you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Ruth. Ruth is a tiny book, and it's right between Judges and Samuel. And so if you find Samuel, go backwards to the first chapter of Samuel, and you'll find Ruth. And if you go to Judges, and you go to the last chapter of Judges, then you'll find the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter number 4. And last week, we looked at the spiritual bankrupt state of Naomi and her family, really. And she literally said in the text, she said, "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." That is literally what she said. And she did come back empty. And this morning, I want to preach on from bankruptcy to blessed. From bankruptcy to blessed. How do you get from bankrupt to blessed? How do you go, you know the stories, you know the titles, from rags to riches, from bankrupt to blessed, from the bad spot to a good spot, and all of those. And really, that takes place in the book of Ruth, and it's an amazing story in all reality, and it's a wonderful account of the life. Really, centrally, it's located about the life of Ruth, and that's why it's called Ruth. But Naomi is an important character, nonetheless, in the book of Ruth. And we're really looking at her life. And I want us to see a mom that is restored and blessed by God today. And that's really what we're looking at. I felt like, boy, what a great Mother's Day message, that it would line right up, that mothers can be very blessed of God. And we find that true in the Word of God. Ruth chapter number 4 and verse number 14, I want us to take our text there. The Bible says, "And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him." Let's stop right there and let's pray. Father, we thank you just for your goodness to us. We thank you, Father, for your many blessings. Thank you for the privilege that we have to be in your house. God, I do pray that you'd bless each and every mother that's here. And God, I pray that you'd encourage them and strengthen them today. And Father, we'll thank you for that. And God, truly, what a blessing it is to be a mother. And so, God, I pray again that you'd bless our services this morning. I pray that you'd bless each and every person that's here and those who are listening online, God, who are not able to be here. I pray, Father, that you'd bless them, encourage them, and strengthen them. Father, we'll thank you for that. We'll give you the honor and glory for all that's said and done. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. As we look in the book of Ruth, and we look at this, the thought here at the end of the chapter, "And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel." What a blessing that's pronounced upon Ruth and Naomi. Really, they're talking to Naomi there, and they're blessing her. They're saying, "Hey, you're going to be blessed of God." And what an amazing thing as we look at that. And go back with me to the beginning of the book of Ruth, and notice with me in verse number 19, verse number 20 rather. "And it was not always this way with Ruth," or with Naomi rather. Look with me in verse number 20. The Bible says in chapter number 1 and verse number 20, "And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me, and I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" Notice there that when she had returned to Israel, she truly was bankrupt, both, I think, physically and spiritually. I don't think she had any money. I don't think she had any way of taking care of herself. And spiritually, I believe she was in probably a very low spot within her life. But notice this in verse number 6, and we covered a little bit of this last week, but notice there in verse number 6, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. I want you to notice that, hey, listen, getting to a place that's blessed in your life starts with a plan to return to God. That's her first thought. She was living there in Moab. Moab was not a godly country. It was not God's chosen people. Matter of fact, it was a wicked country and a nation really that had pitted itself against God. It has a terrible history to it. We'll not go over all of that for sake of time, but understand this, that Naomi had suffered a lot of loss living in Moab. They had packed up and they had left Israel. They moved down there, and while they lived down there, listen, her husband passed away, and we don't know how long they lived there. The Bible does not tell us that, but we do know this, that her husband passed away, and then her sons had gotten married to Moabite women, and they too passed away, both of them. And I don't know, did they all pass away one after the other? Was there time? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But all I can say is this, that you think about the circumstances of Naomi's life. And boy, I tell you what, she has suffered a lot of loss in her lifetime. And she doesn't have anybody left. Her kids are gone, her husband's gone, and understand that was all a problem. And understand that, hey, when you live away from God, and when you live apart from God, and especially for those who are unsaved, the Bible says this in Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And understand that, hey, when you live apart from God, don't expect the blessings of God. And she certainly did suffer a great loss. She certainly did have a lot of difficulty. She certainly did lose a lot in her life to the point that she was bankrupt spiritually. And notice that that specific verse is referenced to those that are unsaved. And listen, unsaved can expect to live under the wrath of God. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 36. Let me get over there and read it for you, because I can't think of the first word. I get it started and I'll have it. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And I'm just telling you, that, hey, listen, if you don't know the Lord as your own personal Savior, hey, listen, today is a good day to know the Lord. Today is a great day to trust the Lord as your own personal Savior, because I'm just saying that, listen, the Bible is abundantly clear. If you do not know the Lord, then the wrath of God abides on you. And listen, you don't want that. Not only for the unsaved, but listen, for the Christian. We noted in Naomi's life, she grew up in Israel. She lived in Israel. Then they left and they departed from Israel. And maybe you are saved. Maybe you know the Lord as your own personal Savior, but you kind of gotten away from the Lord and you're not living for the Lord and serving the Lord. Maybe you're backslidden or you've gotten away from God. And the Bible says this, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. And I'm just saying that, listen, when you walk away from God, when you get away from God, you can expect that, hey, the blessings of God are not going to be showered down in your life. And I'm just trying to tell you where Naomi lived before she made a plan. And you know what? She realized, I'm tired of all this loss. I'm tired of all these hardships. I'm tired of all of the bad influences that are taking place in my life. And notice this, I love this in verse number 6. I kind of touched on it a little bit last week, but it says this, that she heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Hey, listen, as you think about this, understand that, hey, Christian, we need to be out proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, there's people living in Moab. There's people living in the world. There's people that do not know the Lord as their own personal Savior. And we need to let them know, hey, listen, there is a place that you can meet God. There is a place that you can hear about God. Hey, there is a God in heaven, and He is still working today. And she heard all the way down in Moab. Hey, what a blessing that somehow that news traveled all the way from Israel, all the way down to Moab, where she was living. And they were hearing that God had been blessing there in Israel. And we see her plan that she formulates. And look with me in verse number 22. Listen, if you just have a plan and you don't work your plan, then it's not going to help you. Notice in verse number 22, so Naomi returned. And Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Hey, listen, she knew what she needed to do. She needed to get back to where God was. She said, hey, I got to find God's people. And I got to get back to my home. I got to get back to my roots. I got to get back to that place where I lost the blessing of God in my life. And I want to go back to where God is working and God is moving and God is encouraging. And so she said, man, I'm going back to where God is. And she moved and she packed up her things and she left. And there's much of the story there I'm omitting. I know that. But I'm just saying she had a plan of return. And she enacted that. She said, hey, I'm going back. And we find that she did go back. And listen, there is a place of restoration. We see her plan to return, but we see a place of restoration. I read there in verse number 22, she went back to Israel. She went back to Bethlehem, where she was originally from. And listen, Israel was that place for Naomi. She knew, hey, if I go to Israel, that's where God is. If I go to God's chosen people and I live amongst my people and I live there and listen, I know that, hey, God is there and God is working and I can have the blessing of God on my life. You know, in 2024, I got great news for you. You don't have to go to Israel to meet God. Isn't that good news? Because you were already thinking, I seen it. You were scratching your head. You pulled out your phone and you were checking tickets to Israel saying, I got to get back to God. You don't have to go back to Israel to find God. Praise the Lord that in the New Testament, hey, God established churches to teach the Word of God. Matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15, he said to Timothy, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. And then he says this, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You know, one of the reasons that God established a local New Testament church is so that people could gather in a place and hear the truths of the Word of God. That's why He established the truth. Where else are you? I tell you what, you go to work, and unless you work at a church, the chances are you are not going to be edified in your place of employment. You're not going to hear about God, and other people are not going to be discussing God, and they're not going to be teaching doctrine and teaching the way of salvation at your place of employment. I can tell you this, that in the 60s, the public education system already decided, let's kick God out of the schools, so you're not going to hear about God in the schools either. And then you go up to higher education, man, it almost gets worse that they go anti-God today, and they teach you everything against God. And what I'm trying to say is, listen, there's not many places in this world where you can learn and find out about God. But can I tell you, that's the reason that God established a place that you could actually arrive to, New Testament church. And it's the pillars and grounds of the truth. You say, well, preacher, I can find preaching online. Oh, you can. But can I tell you, there's lots of false teaching online. There's all kinds of crazy stuff online. Can I tell you what else? You don't find the camaraderie online. Oh, you look it up a message and you listen to it and that's good and that's fine, even if it is good. And even if it is edifying, you know what you miss? You miss this right here. Woo! Good to see you, brother. I'm glad you're here this morning. That's what you miss. I know, Brother Jeremy, he's always good for a hug. And so that's what you miss. Hey, how's your week going at work? Hey, how's things going in your life? Hey, how's your mother doing? How's your grandmother doing? The camaraderie amongst the local church, that's what you miss when you're just online listening to messages and hearing stuff. And while you might even say, well, they're good and I know they're good, that might be all good and fine. But I'm just telling you that God on purpose established the local church so that you could have a place to go to be encouraged by one another and hear the preaching of the Word of God and find a way back to God. Hey, there's a place. She had a plan for return. She had a place of restoration. Listen, you need to find a church that is going to emphasize the Word of God. There are so many churches today. Man, they got 45 minutes of music, and they have a little bit of a Bible time of 5 minutes, 15 minutes. You know, they don't want to go too long because they don't want to be too churchy or anything like that. I mean, we don't want to, God forbid that we draw too close to God. No, listen. You find a church that emphasizes the Word of God. Hey, listen, music is important. There is no doubt about it. We want to sing songs that edify and glorify God. But can I tell you, that, and God's Word talks about spiritual music and the importance of music. But I tell you what, the primary thing is the Word of God. And it needs emphasized. It needs preached. It needs taught. It needs given out. It needs explained. It needs meditated upon. It needs to be studied. And we need to have the Word of God. And I'm just telling you that God established the local church as a place that you can find restoration for your life. Does that mean that you can't be saved outside of church? No, you can be saved outside of church. There's no doubt about it. I'm not saying that you have to come to church to be saved. But I'm telling you this, the church house ought to be known as a place that I can find God, that I can hear about God. We find a place of restoration in Naomi's life. She went back to her land. She went back to her people. I want you to notice this. This is where it gets good. I love this. There was a person to redeem her. There was a person to redeem her. Listen, Ruth, Naomi's daughter-in-law, had to go out and she gleaned in the fields. Look with me in chapter 2 and verse number 19. The Bible says this in chapter 2 and verse number 19. And her mother-in-law, that would be Naomi, and her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. There's a lot in these verses that I want to give you, but the first thing I want you to notice is the mercy of God. Boy, God is a merciful God. He's merciful because he allowed news to travel outside of his land, outside of his people, outside of Israel, to Moab, where there was lost heathen people, and even they were talking about, boy, God is blessing there in Israel, and they're having bread during this famine, and things are going well, and God is moving there in Israel. And Naomi heard that, and she said, hey, I'm going back to my land. And she had that plan, and she went back to that place. But notice here as well the mercy of God, because listen, when she came back, she was empty. She had nothing. Listen, in Bible times, you didn't just go down to the unemployment office and fill out paperwork and they start mailing you a check. That didn't work that way for them. But listen, God had established a way for them to be taken care of. Save your spot here in Ruth. And go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse number 19. And I want you to see this in the law of God, because it was given there that there was a way for them to be taken care of. Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse number 19. We won't go too much in the law. Don't worry, we're not going to go too deep here, but this is really simple. No, and I want you to notice this with me. Deuteronomy 24 and verse 19. Notice what God is saying. He's talking to the farmers there in the nation of Israel, and this is part of their law. And he says this: when thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field and hast forgotten a sheaf in the field, that would be maybe some of the crop that had fallen. When thou forgotten a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. Verse number 20. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger and for the fatherless and for the widow. Notice in verse 21. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterwards. It shall be for the stranger and for the fatherless and for the widow. Do you notice a theme that reoccurs there in those three verses? That God was making a provision so that the stranger that would come into Israel and perhaps have nothing, that was barren, he would not have inherited any land because he was not a child of Israel. And so he would be a stranger, or maybe he had wandered outside of the land and lost his inheritance and he had come back. But God made provision for them, for the fatherless, for the widows, and said, hey, listen, when they come back to Israel, you're not to pick all of the grapes out of your vineyard. You're not to pick all of the olives off your olive tree. When you go through the fields and you reap your harvest, you were not even, the Bible tells in another part, that you were not to hit all into the corners, that you were to kind of go around and just leave some there. And if you forgot something, leave it there. Why? Was to take care of the stranger, the widow, and the fatherless. And God is merciful in having provision for those who need and those who are in dire need, that he would take care of them. And that is a physical thing. There is no doubt about it. But understand this, that it was a spiritual picture as well. Yes, God does want to help take care of those physically. But listen, it was a way spiritually. And listen, the Bible says it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Hey, listen, if we received what we deserve, you know what? Not a one of us in this room would be alive today. But God mercifully spares us and puts up with us and spares us and spares us. Why? Because he's a compassionate God. Contrary to popular belief, many people want to believe and they want to say that God is just sitting in heaven waiting to strike you dead. My friend, you'd have been dead shortly after you were born. I'm just saying, because we're all sinners. We're born with a sin nature. And so we find the mercy of God in providing and making a way that Ruth could go back to her homeland and she could receive the blessings of those that had labored. Now, she still had to go out and work for it. Don't get me wrong. She had to go out to the fields and gather that up. But there was a place and there was mercy from God. But notice this as well in verse number 20. The Bible talks about a man called Boaz. Oh, we're over there in the law. Go with me to Leviticus chapter 25. This will be the last law portion we look at. But you have to understand this, because we live in America in 2024. And we live quite removed from Bible times and Bible days. And so in Leviticus chapter number 25, I want you to see another law that would help us to understand what is going on. In Leviticus chapter number 25 and verse number 25. Leviticus 25:25. Notice what it says here. The Bible says, if thy brother be waxen poor and has sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. And if the man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession. I'm going to give you the what's going on there. If a man were to lose his possession, Elimelech and Naomi moved out. And perhaps they lost it. The Bible doesn't give us the details. Maybe somebody else moved in. Maybe they sold it when they left, though they were not supposed to do that. Maybe that's why they stayed so long in Moab. Again, we do not know. But if they lost their possession because the land had been divided up amongst the tribes of Israel and given to them, and it was their inheritance, and they were to pass that down to their children, and so it was difficult to buy land. And so there was land there that was not supposed to be sold, but perhaps it was, or for whatever reason, Naomi and Ruth come back and they're not able to work the land. I mean, farming is not an easy job. And they didn't even have a John Deere tractor. And so they probably didn't even have an ox to plow the field. And so you could imagine going out and trying to plow up a field without an ox. I'm not talking about a garden. I'm talking about a field and trying to raise crops and trying to make a living in Bible times would have physically been impossible for Naomi and Ruth in this passage. And so then they come back in. And you know what? Really, they're very poor. They don't have anything. And praise the Lord that God mercifully allowed in the law for them to go out in the fields while I say them. But really, Ruth went out into the fields and she collected the wheat and she collected the grains that she could from the edges of the fields so that she could bring them back to her mother-in-law and they would take and they would work with those grains so that they could maybe make powder or make cakes or whatever they would do with it and then they could have a little bit so that they could live. But on top of that blessing and on top of that mercy, hey, listen, the place that she went, there was a man there that would redeem her. What does that mean? It means he would buy back Elimelech's land. At what expense? Whatever it cost. And listen, it was not to be his own, but it was to raise up seed for Elimelech and for that family's name to carry on. And I know you're like, that is strange. It's strange to us because we live in America in 2024. But it wasn't strange to them. It was normal life. And so that was the idea that, hey, they would have that place would be redeemed. And what does the idea of redeemed? Redeemed means to buy back. You notice in Leviticus there in 25, it says if a man is able, that he's able to redeem his own land. In other words, he would have the first dibs on buying back his own land that he sold, and he would pay for it again, even though it used to be his, and perhaps he lost it for whatever reason, then he was able to buy it back. But if he's not able to buy it back, that there would be a kinsman redeemer, somebody that was related to them, that would buy that land for them and treat it as though it were theirs, the other person's, and raise up a family name for that person. That was the idea. There was a kinsman redeemer. And listen, all of that story parallels and prophesies and speaks to Jesus Christ as the kinsman redeemer. What does that mean? It means that, listen, if you live out in the world and are wandering in the world like Ruth was, and she grew up in Moab, she was not an Israelite, and she was brought into Israel, that, hey, listen, there was a kinsman redeemer that would pay for that land, that would take care of her, that would raise up seed for her and her family, that would go forward in their family. And listen, it was just a pointing and a picture of Jesus Christ saying, listen, I care about the lost people of this world so much that, hey, I'm going to come to the world and I'm going to shed my blood on the cross of Calvary and I'm going to pay a debt that they could not pay. And he did that with his own precious blood on the cross of Calvary And then 3 days later, the Bible says that he rose again from the dead. Why did he do that? Why did he die? Jesus Christ lived an absolutely perfect life without sin. He did that because he loves you. And he cares about you. His compassions fail not, the Bible says. And listen, he wants to redeem you. That is, buy back. He wants to pay for your sin debt that you owe. Listen, every one of us, in all reality, owe a sin debt that we physically cannot pay. But we don't have to pay it because Jesus Christ already paid that sin debt on the cross of Calvary. And listen, if you don't know the Lord as your own personal Savior, then listen, you can trust Him today. It's not a church. It's not a religion. It's one person, and that is Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Anchor Baptist Church cannot save you this morning. Matter of fact, no church can save you this morning. But Jesus Christ can save you. And he came and died on the cross of Calvary so that you could be born again. We find in Ruth chapter 3 in verse number 9, notice what it says. Ruth goes to Boaz, and she was instructed of Naomi, hey, listen, you need to ask him to be the Redeemer. In verse number 9 of chapter 3, we have that. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And he understood, oh, I'm the kinsman redeemer that is to buy back Ruth and her land and all that is there. And listen, we find that she goes to Boaz and she asks him to be the Redeemer. Listen, you know what the Bible says? It reminded me of that verse in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And listen, God wants to save you, and he died on the cross of Calvary to pay for your sins and to save you, and it is a free gift. But listen, if you never receive it, you don't have it. If I were to give out a gift, we had those gifts this morning we gave to all the mothers. I jokingly told my wife, I said, we ought to order 100 stickers that says, "Number one mom." How do you have 100 number one moms? I don't know, but that's what I wanted to do. But she didn't think she had a better taste than me. So, we give that gift out. But you know what? If those fellows went by and they offer it to you, but if you don't hand out your hand and take it from them, then you have not received it. And salvation has got to be, it's a free gift. Nobody got charged for the stickers this morning. We didn't charge you for them. I hope not. If they did, then you see me and we're going to have a talk because that ain't right. It was a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. God wants us to be saved. But if we don't receive it, then we got a problem. We don't have that gift of eternal life. If we've not gone and asked for it and said, "God, save me," then we're not saved. And we see that there was a person to redeem her. Notice with me as we look at the last part of this, we see the product of redemption. Back in chapter 4, Ruth chapter 4 and verse number 14, notice this. It says in verse 14, "And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman." We see the product of redemption. I want you to notice three things about this. First thing I want you to notice is her renewed life. Look with me in verse number 10. The Bible says, "Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and the gate of his palace. Ye are witnesses this day." Naomi, she had two sons. She had a husband. She had two sons. They all died in Moab, and there's no mention of any children. And she was thinking, it's all over. There's nobody to carry on the family name. There's nobody to take over the family farm. There's nobody to run the family business. It's all done. In other words, hey, the line ends here. There's no more after this. And really, that was the idea, is that the line was dead, and there would be no family heritage after that. But Boaz, marrying Ruth, purchased all of that land and raised up a family name for Mahalan, whatever that guy's name is that Ruth was married to, Mahalan. He married Ruth and would raise up seed children for Mahalan, and then they would inherit their family land again, and that they would carry forward the family name, and that was a blessing to them. And what I'm saying is, listen, the line was dead, but now it's made alive. And listen, Jesus Christ renews us and gives us new life. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." Listen, before our salvation, hey, we were dead. We were destined for a bad place called hell, and there was no life per se. But listen, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and he saved us. He gave us that gift of eternal life and salvation so that we could be born again. And the Bible says, "And you hath he quickened." That means to make alive. And I'm just telling you that, listen, he gave Naomi and Ruth renewed life. Listen, what a blessing for them. Not only renewed life, but listen, renewed hope. She before all of this, she's looking at her life and saying, just finish out my days. There's not much else I can do. It's all over. But now we see that, hey, listen, there is a renewed hope because she's looking forward. And the ladies are saying, hey, you're blessed of the Lord because you have a kinsman redeemer. And listen, there's a chance that your lineage and your heritage can be carried forward. And it's not the end of the story. And she would be taken care of, and she would be provided for, and she would have a place to live, and those that would help care for her and take care of her and feed her. And listen, I'm just telling you this, that when you come to Christ, when you're saved, when you're born again, hey, listen, there's the hope of all eternity of being cared for, because Jesus said in John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you." And then he said this, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again." And I'm just telling you that as a Christian, we have hope for the future. Naomi, she didn't have hope at the beginning of the book. But at the end of the book, after the kinsman redeemer kicked in, I tell you what, she had a renewed hope. Oh man, I'm going to be taken care of. I'm going to have family. I'm going to have a place to live. Not only a renewed life, a renewed hope, but I want you to notice this as well. A renewed lineage. Look with me in verse number 17. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi." Wait a minute. Who? Ruth had the child. I just have to clarify that, all right? But for Naomi's sake, it was her grandchild. And it was her lineage that would carry forward. And it would be like family to her. And so there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name, watch this, Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Listen, Naomi was greatly blessed of God. Because here she is. And her daughter-in-law, Ruth, had a child named Obed, and Obed brought forth Jesse, and Jesse brought forth David. And you know, David was King David that the Bible talks about, the very famous king, the man after God's own heart that was in Israel. And listen, you go back into Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5. You don't have to go there now for sake of time. But in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 5, you'll find that David, Ruth, Obed, and Jesse, and David are all mentioned. Why? Because her lineage was changed. Why? Because you know why? She had a plan to get back to God. She had a place to be restored. She had a person to redeem her. And listen, there was a product of redemption, a renewed life, renewed hope, and a renewed lineage. What a blessing for her that she would have a family. Her great-great-grandson, don't know if she knew her, she knew him, was King David. Man, what an incredible blessing. What an incredible heritage she had. When she thought at the beginning of the book, my life's over, God brought me forth, brought me back empty, I have nothing, and she ended her life blessed with the renewed hope, renewed life, and a renewed lineage. What a blessing of God in the life of Naomi. As we stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, my question to you is this. Where do you fall in those two categories? Are you spiritually bankrupt? Maybe you're headed the wrong way. Maybe things aren't going right. Maybe you're in need. Maybe you find yourself drifting away from God and not towards God. Maybe you need to make a plan like Naomi did to return to God. Maybe you need a place. Maybe you don't have a church. Maybe your church has drifted and you need a church to join and make your home and a place where you can hear about God. Maybe you need to get your life back on track. Listen, God can bless you. God can help you. God can strengthen you. Father, I pray that you would speak to hearts as only you can. God, I pray that if there's one that does not know you here this morning, God, maybe they grew up in the world. Maybe they live in the world. Maybe they're unaware, really, of what Christianity is and what it means. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to their heart, show them their need for salvation. God, maybe there's a Christian here today that's wandered away from you. And God, they know it. I pray, God, that you would help them to come back to you. God, you're always there with arms wide open, ready to receive, ready to forgive, ready to restore. God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your compassion. I thank you for your goodness to us. God, we see Naomi's life and her hardship, her spiritual bankruptcy. But God, we see that you blessed her at the end when she returned back to your land. And when she got back to you, God, and you blessed her greatly. God, I pray that you would speak to hearts as only you can. We'll thank you for that. God, we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. As we have a hymn of invitation, maybe God's spoken to your heart this morning. And listen, the altar's open. Maybe you've drifted away from him. Maybe you're not saved and you want to be saved this morning. Why not receive the gift of salvation today? Jesus Christ offers salvation. And even there in your seat, you can say, God, I know I'm lost. God, I know I need to be saved. God, I want to receive that gift of salvation today. Call on God to save you. Ask him to change your life, to save you, and he will. And if you do that, let us know. We want to encourage you. We don't want to discourage you. We want to help you. We want to encourage you. Maybe you need a church. Whatever the need, the altar's open. Maybe God's spoken to your heart. The altar's open.